We've been working in Mali since 1999. Different programs focused on food security and agriculture and education. So when the crisis started, it was actually right on the edge of where we were implementing a lot of our food security and agricultural programs. So unfortunately, we had to pull back those programs farther to the south to make sure that that we could work in all safety. And since then, you know, with the influx of displaced people into Bamako, we've been able to support close to 4,000 displaced people with cash grants every month. That started last July. So every month, these people receive a small amount of money. It breaks down to about 13 euros per person per month to, for example, pay for rent or to buy medicine or other health care or buy food or anything that they need. And initially, they received this money in cash, but in the last months, we have shifted it over to a system where we deposit money directly onto a debit card, like a bank card that they have in their possession, and then they can go to an ATM, to a cash machine at any time they want and take out the money that they need to make a payment. It's very safe for them. It gives them the choice to access the money when they want, and it also kind of enrolls them into the formal banking system, which is nice as well. Now, since the latest bout of violence and the French military intervention, we are doing a big problem right now is a lack of information. It's very difficult to get information on anything that happens north of like the de facto line of control, like the area that's under control of the French army, the ECOWAS troops, as well as the Malian army, and what's going on north of there. So at the moment, we have two teams out, one team that is in the Mopti area and one team that is slightly to the south of there. And what they're doing is they're collecting information on what is exactly the impact on the population as a result of this armed intervention. What has happened with the families that were already displaced, that all of a sudden cannot travel north anymore, that cannot access money, cannot access their original jobs or their original livelihoods, and see how they've been affected. And then based on the information that we collect, we decide what is the most appropriate response. Maybe we should do more of this cash transfer programming where people receive money and they can spend it however they want it. Maybe it's more appropriate to do direct food distributions if markets are not functioning, for example. Or maybe people need completely other things like basic shelter so that they can, you know, live and sleep in safety. Or maybe they need better access to water and sanitation.
You're talking about helping around 4,000 people. Reports are that there are over 400,000 people who have been displaced by this conflict so far. Can you confirm those reports?
No, actually, the latest reports that have come out, it's less. According to UN OCHA, as of yesterday, there is 54,000 people displaced into Mauritania, about 50,000 into Niger, about 40,000 into Burkina Faso, and around 200,000 in Mali. And the new numbers right now are actually, so since the French military intervention started, the new numbers aren't all that high. Now, that's not good news necessarily. It just means that the space for people to move around in safely and to choose to go where they would like to go is fairly constrained right now. So they have no easy free movement, for example, to either refugee camps in Burkina Faso or to relatives in Bamako or Mopti or Ségou or something like that. The 4,000 people supported by CRS so far, that has been a project that started in July when the initial flow of refugees started to come down towards Bamako. We don't know yet how many people we would support with this new wave, because that will depend on what we can, you know, what we learn during our assessments in the upcoming days.
We've heard the Archbishop of Bamako calling for a humanitarian corridor to try and support those who are trapped in the conflict zone. Do you think this is something that's likely to happen? Has there been a response to his appeal?
You know, I'm not a military expert in any way. I would certainly hope that it could work. You know, even if the town of Mopti, Kona, maybe Duenza, if it's opened up and if it could be free for people to move all the way from Kidal to the south or into Algeria, that would be a significant step forward for humanitarian actors to be able to serve displaced people, yes. I think with kind of recapturing or stabilizing Mopti, and the story that I hear is that Duenza is also under Malian and French army control, to verificate. I think the likelihood that that people will be able to move safely south again has increased. But, you know, as long as fighting is going on, it's going to be really difficult for people to move around freely, which is, of course, a serious concern.
Is there a fear, though, of the conflict spilling over any further south?
I think initially there was. You know, last week when the initial move towards Kona started, and then particularly when Diabali came under pressure, I think there was serious concern that you know, very surprisingly, all of a sudden, jihadist groups would be able to actually move south towards Bamako. But I think that, at least along among colleagues and people that I speak, that there's a lot more faith right now that between the French army, the ECOWAS troops, and the Malian army, they'll be able to push north to Avin, and that there's going to be a new push to the south.